Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
To ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Glad to have you here. And if you've been listening already, we especially appreciate that. You're going to be glad you did because Bill Treasurer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bill's back in the building. Bill is the founder of Giant Leap Consulting, which is an organizational development company, and he helps organizations and individuals all around the world make sure that they put their best foot forward, especially in the area of management. He's the author of Right Risk, 10 Powerful Principles for Taking Giant Leaps from Your Life. He's also known as Captain Inferno. He was a member of the U.S. high diving team, and in order to get him to jump off the platform, they'd set him on fire so he'd have to jump in the water. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back.
The first time they set you on fire, Bill, that wasn't part of the deal, was it? They just did that to get you to jump in the water?
Yeah, as you mentioned, for 7 years I was a member of the U.S. high diving team and traveled around the world performing in aquatic entertainment productions, diving from 100-foot platforms, the equivalent of a 10-story building, protected only by a Speedo.
So that's enough information on that part, Bill. But let me ask you, would they rather see you jumping off the high dive or the horse?
We ditched the horses early on.
Have you ever seen that? Have you seen those things where the horse jumps off of the high dive? That's incredible.
That was an actual show that they had in New Jersey at the pier.
I know.
For many years.
I saw the video of that thing. That's an incredible story. That's a brave horse. And a brave rider as well. Speaking of bravery, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Bill. We use the word bravery, we use the word courage, and I know you like to talk about courage, and I do too. I think courage is a very important part of the makeup of any manager. Anybody who's trying to make anything happen in the marketplace, whether they're an owner or an employee manager, I think you've got to have courage. And I think courage is different from bravery. What do you think?
Well, I think it is. And I also think I'm going to say something pretty bold. I think that courage is more important than leadership. And I realize that's a provocative thing to say. But the reality is not every person in the workforce is going to have an opportunity to be a true appointed leader. Yet everybody in the workforce has opportunities to demonstrate courage. The other piece that I would say is that, you can be a leader and have courage. In fact, I would say to be a leader, to be a true leader, you have to have courage.
You will have courage, absolutely.
And yet you can be a person that has courage and not be a leader. So in my mind, that means that courage is the more important concept. And yet so many organizations are focused on leadership classes and trying to make people leaders. I think they should focus on having people be a little bit more courageous. And if they did that, by default, people will start rising into leadership positions anyway.
But isn't that – see, this is what I worry about, though, Bill, is the way the marketplace is moving. It seems to me that it's precluding courage. To me, to ask somebody to be a leader without giving them the license to be courageous,
right,
in my opinion, is shortchanging them. It's tying one, at least part of their capabilities behind their back. And I'm concerned about the way the marketplace is going. Wall Street has got every major corporation on such a short leash, a quarterly report leash, that I fear that the creativity, which is part of one of the manifestations of courage, I fear that that's something that's becoming part of our past. What do you think?
Well, I agree. My company is a courage building company. We help people and organizations be more courageous. And so the reality is that our marketplace, our key target market, is fear-based companies. And one of the signs, and we've got five signs of fear-based companies, and one of the signs is when a company has when the bean counters have more influence than innovators and entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they start making every single decision according to only one criteria,
that is,
you know, bottom line. And yet,
I know those people, and they're not the kind of people I like to hang out with.
Me neither. And you're right. They siphon out the creativity and entrepreneurial spirit. Because the reality is, to be an innovative company, you have to have a certain tolerance for mistake-making, and that does take courage.
They suck the spirit right out of a company. Now, in fairness, you got to have those guys. They got to be part of the equation. But in my opinion, they do not need to be the ultimate decision maker. And we'll come back and talk about this some more right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Treasurer. He is the author of Right Risk.
Ooh, no, baby, please don't go.
Then the man steps right up to the microphone. Says it lasts just as the time bell rings.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Treasurer. He is the author of Right Risk. And Bill, give us your website, please.
www.giantleapconsulting.com.
It's also the name of his company, folks, Giant Leap Consulting. Check that out. They can find your books there, can't they?
You sure can.
Bill. You know, you were talking before the break about the bean counters, and you know, God bless them. We got to have them. In fact, more small business owners need to be a little more of a bean counter than a little bit, maybe sometimes a little bit less of a risk taker.
Yeah.
But you know, I remember, Bill, when I was in college many years ago working for Sears, over my career with them, I'd have different store managers, and the attitude of the store was different when we had a manager who came up as a marketing guy.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the guy who came up as a bean counter, as an operator.
You're right.
And here was the example. Whenever I needed to check on something to possibly make a sale, back in those days, literally, of course, that's back when a phone call was a long distance call was kind of, you know, could be expensive. For the marketing guy, that was my phone call was going to maybe be a $500 sale. To the bean counter, to the operator, that phone call was a $1.79 expense. That's how those two guys look at the world.
It's sad. And in fact, one of the things that Giant Leap looks for when they're trying to find a target market company to work with, the fear-based organization, is what's the percentage of people at the very top that have finance and accounting degrees. Now, like you said, you absolutely need some of that as a discipline. But if it's making up a disproportional amount of your senior executive, mm-hmm. if they all come from that discipline and there's no marketing and no innovation, then you're going to get sort of a cost-driven business as opposed to a revenue-driven business.
Tell us what you mean by fear-based company.
Giant Leap has five signs of looking for a fear-based organization. And what we're finding, unfortunately, is that there are more and more companies are becoming fear-driven. And when you get that, it's like a droplet of anxiety into the system. It starts to magnify itself and take off like a contagion, almost like a viral bacteria within the workforce. And it really goes from the top on down. It starts with Wall Street and their relentless and ever-escalating profit expectations. Mm-hmm. And under that, then you get the board of directors starts to fear an increasing, the scrutiny of the SEC. The CEO fears a meddling board, unrelenting competition, and fickle customers.
Right. And Sarbanes-Oxley. Don't forget the Sarbanes-Oxley in the middle of all that.
Sarbanes-Oxley. And then senior managers fear not hitting the numbers and displeasing the CEO. Middle managers fear the jockeying peers and aspiring direct reports. And then the rank and file fear everybody up the chain, so that the whole organization starts to be driven by fear. And then what you get is the senior executives start talking about what keeps them awake at night, all the mm-hmm. threats on the horizon. And they're constantly stoking the threats, figuring that's the only way they can get people to worry enough about the business. I'd rather see senior executives talk about the confidence that they have in the workforce, Mm-hmm. And here's the things that are making them confident and content. And here's the things that needs to be done next to take the business to ever higher levels of performance.
Well, I fear that if a company needs to improve their customer service and it's going to take 18 months to make that change, to get the training done, get all the systems in place, I'm not sure the environment is there in the marketplace today for a major corporation to be able to do that. If they need to turn that around, to be able to turn that around and take 18 months, because you and I both know if they had to do that, that something's going to have to be compromised, and it's probably going to be profit, and they're not going to like that. What about a small business that's a fear-based company? What would that look like?
Well, I speak for myself as a small business owner, and I think back to 5 years ago when we started Giant Leap Consulting, and frankly, a certain amount of fear, as long as it's conscientiousness, I think is useful. But when your fear slips over, passes a threshold into sort of a gnawing anxiety, and you truly are not getting any sleep at night, you're not going to be able to perform well. So I think that a certain degree of healthy conscientiousness...
As long as it's motivating. When fear is motivating, it helps you to do more research, to do the right kind to pay attention to the detail. It helps you to do the fundamentals, doesn't it?
It does. I'll give you an example of where fear can get into the system in a small business way, and it can hurt. I have made the decision to grow organically as a business. But there are some people who, in exchange for security, will sell a portion of their business and then regret it later. And they did it because they couldn't deal with the fear of having to take less money in the short term. I made that decision early on that I wanted to grow my business organically. There have been a couple of times where, the idea of selling the business and people have winked at the business and such, but I remain steadfast in not wanting to take out loans, for example, to grow the business. I'm not saying that it's not right in every instance, but in my instance, it wasn't.
So... Well, I don't attribute, prudent financial operations, in my opinion, is not being fearful. And if you're trying to make sure that if you're managing debt properly, if you've decided to grow organically and not take out debt, whereas somebody else has, I don't consider that to be something bad. But I do think that not having the courage to make that decision, that took courage for you to make that decision. And I want to talk about this some more with our good friend Bill Treasure. He and I will be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Until it's gone, and I found out.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Bill Treasurer. We're talking about courage. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out when you get a chance. Use both of them to your advantage. Different things on both sites. One is where you can get all the things that we do here on the show and our articles, the Brain Trust members, the archives. Subscribe to my free newsletter. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, AskJim.biz is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. Bill Treasurer and I are talking about courage and fear-based companies. Bill, you were telling us about how you see a fear-based company, what you see them, what it looks like. And, small business owners have – most of us are pretty entrepreneurial or we wouldn't be doing what we do. I'm worried that maybe people are thinking that when we talk about a fear-based company, that what they're thinking of as fear is really just prudence.
Right.
What do you think?
And you need prudence. And right risk, by the way, is not about daredevilry. It's not about turning a corporate person into a fire diver. And the right risk is a risk that is anchored to principles and it's done on purpose and it exercises the free will of choice. And in other words, there's thoughtfulness that goes into it. What I'm suggesting is that when fear is the primary motivator in a workforce, as opposed to the opportunities. You know, I'll give you an example. I had a person that I used to report to at a major consulting company that I used to work for. I reported to two people, and one person would look at a challenge in front of them and say, wow, we got a lot of opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And then another person that I report to would look at the very same challenge and say, oh, no, look at the problem out there that looms for us.
Half full, half empty.
Exactly. One was trying to motivate you through the challenge and how it inspired you because you wanted to rise to a level of performance to meet the challenge. The other one was telling you, oh, no, you better not screw up because that's going to be big trouble if you do. So one was working under threat and one was working under motivation. To me, one was fear-based. Now, here's the interesting thing, Jim. Both of those people are going to get a good level of performance out of me. But in mm-hmm. the long run, one of them I'm going to be more endeared to, more loyal to, speak better of than the other one.
Well, the first one, the one who sees the opportunity, is not going to be naive where they would say, you know, this is going to be wonderful. They're going to say, you know what? There's a lot of opportunity in this. We just have to make sure there are two or three tripwires that we got to make sure we don't catch.
Absolutely, they'll do it with discipline and put guardrails around it. But they'll be walking with composure and confidence, and you know,
and excitement.
Exactly, and that's the trick, and that's the difference. That if you do the things that cause the discipline, you can take a fearful situation and convert it from fear to excitement, because those two conditions, those two emotions, are actually neurological correlates. When you're afraid, the same very things happen to you as when you're excited, except we experience fear as displeasure. So we lose energy, and we experience excitement as energizing. So, and that's what makes it motivating versus fear, which becomes demotivating.
Well, and preparation is a great generator of courage, isn't it?
It is. Nobody, you know, when I went up to the top, I'm a high diver who did a 100-foot high dive platform dive, but I'm afraid of heights, and nobody would, in their right mind would go to the top of the ladder and jump off a 100-foot ladder without any preparation. We started on the ground, literally on the pool deck, 1 foot off the water, doing 100 jumps there so that you would get desensitized to your fear, and then you could stretch it higher a little bit by at a time.
Well, absolutely, and what, you know, the thing, folks, is the way you turn fear into courage is by preparing, by and also by experience. Don't you think, Bill? I mean, I know that the more experience I have, the more I deal with fear in a productive way. What do you think?
You start to get seasoned, and when you get the experience, you start to come up against challenging situations that used to cause you a lot of fear. And even though the situation itself you may not have 100% experience with, but you're like, this reminds me of something else that I have experienced in the past. And you have more confidence when you face it. In fact, you start even to look forward to those kind of events.
Right, absolutely. Bill, give us your website one more time, please.
GiantLeapConsulting.com.
And they can find Right Risk there. You've also edited a book called Positively Mad. Can they find that there?
They can also find Positively Mad there. I'd also encourage them to go to their favorite online bookseller. That's a good place to get the books as well. And I'm actually working on a new book right now called The Courage Zone, which will be out.
And you're going to launch that on this show next year, aren't you?
You got it.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Treasurer, ladies and gentlemen. Bill, we'll see you next time.
Great talking to you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to thank you for being the heroes that you are, small business owners. And remember, the show is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.